the bottom line in business. Voice America Business.
This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on the following show are solely those of the host, guest, and its callers. It's time for The Growth Strategist. Here's your host, Aldana Ambler.
Welcome to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler, and each week we rotate through different growth strategies for mid-market companies because this is a peer-to-peer-to-peer program. Everybody that is myself and my guests and my listeners, we are presidents and owners of companies, privately held companies, between 20 and 200 million, and most of us have our eyes on $1 billion. Now, our listening audience, which is interesting, is, you know, that sweet spot, the overwhelming majority of the 183,000 of you that are out there listening are at about that $20 million mark, so we aim to you. The second group of listeners that is about 10 million. The third group of listeners I think is interesting is the division heads and presidents of corporate divisions in corporate America. And the fourth group is a miscellaneous mix, mostly people in small companies trying to hear where you're headed. So we want to make sure that we, you know, don't over-explain things. So I just want to remind people of that. And we rotate through different growth strategies. One week it's on, you know, how do you grow through franchising? And the next week it might be how do you grow through geographic expansion? And the next week it might be through equity deals. And I rotate through different industries, and I rotate through different geographic locations. One week it's somebody from Kansas City, and the next week it's somebody from Singapore. So it's just great fun. I just love doing this. And one of the emails I got this last week, people were asking for me to mention a little bit more about myself, and I haven't done that recently. I have been in business for 36 years. I'm one of those pioneers because a woman being in business that long is unique. I started my first business with $276 and an unemployed husband. And I thought basically I was going to be a consultant, but I didn't want to be the only consultant. My journey included growing the business to 123 full-time consultants, which is unique. It's a unique size. So I've been through an ESOP. You know, I had six offices internationally, sold to a group of 33 people, and then the last segment of the business got sold to one of the big eight, which is now one of the big three. And I've spun off other businesses. The portfolio is I'm an intermediary for getting people growth financing, spun off a public speaking business. I'm a one-third owner of a manufacturing plant. So I think sometimes I do forget to give my pedigree of what gives me the right to be called the growth strategist, what gives me the right to be giving advice. I have won, you know, a couple dozen really prestigious awards as an entrepreneur, and I sometimes forget to remind the audience, those of you who are new or don't know me, when I ask questions, it's not just from an interviewer's viewpoint. I'm living the journey of the 25 growth strategies that we rotate through. I've done the acquisitions, and I've done the geographic expansion. I've done the licensing. The only one I haven't done, I haven't franchised one of my businesses yet, but I am by no means done. That may happen. We'll see. Now, today what we're doing is we're talking about that positioning yourself as a leader. Because one of the things I'm hearing is there's this assumption that everybody's supposed to be in the lead. And that's a big assumption, and it's a scary one. It's an unnecessary one. And not to be remedial, especially since most of you are at 20 million. Think about it. Go back to Marketing 101. The positioning strategies you have is an option. You can be a leader. You can be a challenger. You can be a follower. You can be a niche. And you can make money, and you can really do well in any of those four. And so the premise that you have to be kind of like in technology, on the bleeding edge of technology, why? That's a very expensive decision. And you better have a good reason that you're on the bleeding edge of technology, because if you can't make it pay off, if your customers aren't needing you to be on the bleeding edge, a lot of times the implications of that are you just broke, that you get so excited about being the first, that you're spending a lot of money on it, and you can attract some people who like to play and like to try new things, but does it make you money? So I want to question, in my segment in the beginning of the show here, I want to question the presumption that people have of they've got to be a market leader. They've got to be first. They've got to be the first one out of the block. Now, I've got a guest I'll be introducing at quarter after the hour, somebody who's made a decision to be a market leader. And we're not talking about somebody that had, you know, some sugar daddy hand her money or some, you know, big division of a corporation. This is somebody that's, you know, self-made and, you know, is living the journey, the tough decision of what does it truly take? Think about this. If you're going to be a leader in the industry, that means what? Let's walk through what it means. It means the market research. You got to have the commitment to the market research to know the trends, the future trends, the future needs. You got to be ahead of your industries, ahead of your clients by a lot. And that means money. That means, you know, investment of time. You can't just guess at this. That if you're saying you're a leader, you got to prove it. So these are the kind of companies that do white papers. These are the kind of companies that do surveys. These are the kind of companies that are speakers at conventions. These are the kind of companies that invest, have a line item in their budget for research. They're not going to guess just based on a couple of their clients. Are you really ready to do that? So if you claim you're a market leader and you don't have a line item for research and you don't have somebody dedicated to really looking into trends, are you really being a hypocrite? You get it? To say that you're a market leader and you're going to be ahead of your clients, there's implications to your budget. So there's the first one. Second thing, think about the implications to staffing. If you're going to say you're going to be ahead of your clients, you're going to be leading them where they've boldly not gone before. You're going to be like Star Trek. What kind of client, what kind of employees are you going to need? You're going to need bright. They have to have a learning mentality. They have to want to go continuing education. They can't be the type that fight you when they need certifications. They can't be the type that would never go back to school. You know, somebody who coasts. And this is a real issue now because look at all, you know, if you read Roger Herman and Joyce Joya's book on impending crisis, too many jobs and too few people, and books like that, the gap, there are so many jobs that are coming down the pike and too few people. Well, you say you want to be a leader, not only are you going to need bodies, but you're going to need people with aptitude and a really good attitude. How are you going to do that? It's a cool thing for you to say that you're going to be in the lead. Well, you've got the obligation that you are constantly recruiting. You're going to feel like it is a permanent to-do list item of looking for talent. Now think about it. If you're not well healed and you're not, you know, from some, you've got this big inheritance and where you don't have a venture capitalist that's just throwing money at you and even then, you know, you got the payback to give. Where are you going to find these people? How are you going to afford them? It's kind of cocky when you hear some people say, we're going to be a market leader. Now, and now this discussion today, you're going to discover somebody who's not cocky and living it, but has the guts to do it. I just want you to think about the implications when you start promising, we're the market leader. Are you sure? All right, third thing, think about the implications to your procedures, your day-to-day methods. If you're saying the market leader and you miss deadlines or you don't know what the next step is or you don't prevent a problem for your customers or you didn't have the resources behind you, like the best accountant, the best attorney, referral sources. If you're not networked, I think about Harvey McKay when he has his book about dig your well before you're thirsty, talking about, you know, really having all these resources so that if a crisis comes up or an opportunity comes up, the equivalent of your Rolodex is so deep, of course you've got backup. Market leaders are not isolated. They're so networked that they're a hub. They've declared they're a market leader in a specific thing, and they tend to be the type of people someone calls. Then, and they call you for things you can't believe they're calling you about because you've positioned yourself as in the know, on the edge, always reading, and of course you'd be subscribing to a whole series of magazines, online or whatever, and of course you would be members of associations that are of relevance to your customer base. Of course you would be taking courses. This is expensive. This is not an idle thing to do. And I guess, you know, you can hear in my voice, I have some agitation with how many companies claim that they're going to be in the lead. And then when you really watch look at their budget and you really watch who they hire and you really look at what they're investing in, it's contradictory, and so all it is just fluff. There's an implication to your recruitment, to your training, to your procedures, to your budget, to your research, to your methodologies, and then, now let's think of the last thing. There's an implication to your marketing. Because if you're going to be spending that much time and money to be ahead of the marketplace, you better get across that you're there, because they won't know otherwise. I mean, it's like a professor that really has figured out a new theory, but if he or she doesn't tell anybody that they know it, what a waste. What a waste. I think one of the key implications is that there's an educational component to being in the lead. Because think about it, not just for your marketing, but for your sales. Your customers aren't going to know what you know. If you've been doing the research, you know the trends. Say, if, like in this industry we're talking about today, in the computer industry, these would be the first people that would discover, you know, what are you going to do about terrorist threats? And what are you going to do about security issues? And what are you going to do about the software incompatibilities? What are you going to do about competitor espionage and protection of intellectual properties? What, you know, what are we going to do about privacy issues? And what are you going to do about the fact that industries are getting much more complicated? What are you going to do about the fact that your customers are merging and combining and they're in chaos? What are you going to do about the fact that they used to be publicly owned and they're going back to being privately owned? All of those things change how people buy hardware and software. You'd have to be aware of that kind of stuff. Well, how are your customers going to know that you know that? So there is a burden on your marketing to be conveying that you are investing in your education. These are the type of companies that do blogs. These are the type of companies that have public seminars to catch their customers up. These are the types of companies that invest in what I call consultative selling, and where are you headed and what do you need, but it's also in an educational sale. Sometimes they offer free seminars for their customers to get them up to date, so that it's a favor to be a customer and it's not always billable. Listen to the implications to your sales. Your customers might not even know that they need what you do. So you have a longer buying cycle. You have a longer buying cycle because you've got to wake them up to what's going to happen to them next, and they're preoccupied with their day-to-day. You got to wake them up to, okay, I get where you're at. I'm going to help you with your day-to-day issues that you've got now. I'll help you with your short-term pain. But I've got to show you the next thing that's coming on the horizon that if we don't deal with it now, could take you down. And I'm going to be here. Here, this kind of a partnership. I'm going to be here. I'm going to walk you through this. And because we're going to do this together, we're going to prevent some problems. We're going to raise you to the next level. You're going to be ahead of your competition. It is a caretaking style of sales. So who you hire as a salesperson can't just be knowledgeable about product and cold. Uh-uh. They've got to care about the customer's fear. They've got to be aware of where their customer's headed and be very reassuring, very calming. It's funny. You've got to be both exciting and calming at the same time, and not just the owner. The salespeople who go out to the prospects in this kind of company, when you say you're in the lead, they have to show off the company's that kind of cutting edge without it being threatening, without it sounding expensive. And there's this, it's like you're conveying, we're on a journey, we are taking our customers into the future, you're coming along with us for the ride because we're having a grand time. That's what it really means. And I didn't even mention how you finance it. When we get back, I'm going to talk about that, and then I'll introduce our guest. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. We'll be right back.
Talk about his money. Call us toll free, 866-472-5790, and talk to the experts. We talk money all the time. Voice America Business.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
When you have a stroke, you may not even notice it right away. But then, time passes, and the symptoms get worse. One minute you feel fine, and the next, your speech could be slurred or not make sense. One side of your body might become numb. You might see double. You drop the TV remote because you can't hold up your arm. That's because, after a stroke, every minute you don't get help is another minute that your brain is being starved of oxygen. The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face, arm, or leg, sudden trouble seeing, speaking, or understanding. If you experience any of these warning signs, call 911 immediately, because time lost is brain lost. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Are you feeling slammed and suckered in today's stock market? If so, then you need to tune in to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, Jordan Kimmel will train you in what you can do to beat up the big boys on Wall Street, as well as share his secrets to success so that you can buy and sell like a profit-pumping pro. Grab the bull market by the horns and listen to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
The Bottom Line in Business. Voice America Business.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler, and today we're talking about making the commitment to being a market leader. What does that really mean? What are the implications? And in the opening, I didn't quite get to one point, and that is finance. Okay, now all those nifty things I listed, you better know how to manage money. Because I've noticed a lot of the people who just blithely say, I'm going to be a market leader, and that's how I'm going to make money, have not thought through the cost of what I just listed. Go back and listen to that segment again. It's expensive. This isn't going to be free. You're the ones that are going to need the buildings. You're the ones that are going to have to pay premium price for your employees. You're the ones that are going to have to, you know, fund marketing campaigns and educational sales. And this is not cheap. And you're going to have premium price to be ahead of your marketplace. This is not going to be low-ball pricing. And you have to have systems that make some sense. So this costs money, folks. So one of the key things I'd like you to think about is if you have not really, you know, learned accounting. You know, I've seen an awful lot of people that are entrepreneurial, but they resist learning about finance, resist learning about accounting. They don't think in terms of percentages and significant ratios, and they cop, you know, well, that's just my accountant's job, and they abdicate to the accountant. The primary implication I'd say to you about finance is you need to be really good at managing money. Because this, as if you could bleed money, this is one of the techniques, the strategy of being a leader is one of the fastest ways to go broke. Because it drains your cash. Everything's expensive. So you better know where you're getting your cash, you better know where you're getting your profitability, and be on top of your budget at all times. And not dollars, but percentages, so that you're playing the odds. So if, you know, what's your R&D budget? What is your education budget? What is your, you know, your cost of acquisition of an account? What is your true gross profit? I mean, really obsessed about percentages. The reason I say percentages instead of dollars is if you're ramping from a $20 to a $50 million company, your percentages are going to stay pretty consistent in trying to get it. And you don't want to remember your electric bill based on so many $1,000 a month. Who cares? But if your overhead is capped, say 9%, and you know you've capped it within 9%, you can calm down and not worry about minutia. So that's, I just wanted to finish up that idea. Now, what I want to do, what I'm so excited to do, I want to introduce Jane Morgan. Jane, you there?
I'm here, Aldana.
Hello. I'm delighted to have you on the show. Now, I've got to go through a little bit of who you are because people might not have heard of you, but you're the president of 411 Solutions International. Yes?
Yes.
Now, tell the people who are listening, because they're from all over the world, what is a 411 Solutions International? What kind of company is that?
Our solutions are focused on business continuity, which is high availability, all about recovery. And so our focus is protecting clients from both planned and unexpected downtime.
Now, so do you have some industries that you focus on, or?
The bulk of our industries, 75% of them are manufacturing and distribution.
Oh, wow. They've got some complicated things that if they have downtime, it costs them a ton.
Just a few, and everybody has a different recovery time objective,
mm-hmm.
and that will then determine what solution we would design and customize for the client.
So now you're talking technology. I know most of the people, it's the $20 million mark. They've heard business continuity. They know what that means. I'm not sure a lot of them know what high availability means, though.
High availability is in a mirrored solution. Whatever you have at location A, you have the same at location B.
Okay, so if you get a fire or you have some kind of other disaster or a terrorist attack or something, you know, you can still continue your business from another location without missing a beat.
Right. There is zero downtime.
Okay, and we're going to talk about how you did that because that was a gutsy move that you took, if I remember right.
Mm-hmm.
So you made a commitment to really say, okay, it's not enough to just sell boxes and software and the ongoing business to your clients. You're the one that's going to be able to keep them having their business continue no matter what.
Correct.
That's that leading edge market leader stuff where you said, right? Am I understanding it correctly?
That's correct.
And now, is there a geography range for you? Where are you?
It really is not, we focus in certain markets just in Chicago and broad, but we can go internationally. It's all about connectivity.
Well, you know, but if you can have a company that's headquartered in the Chicago area,
right,
that's big enough to meet some of the things.
But they can be in Europe.
Yeah.
They can communicate to us that way.
Yeah.
They can be on the East Coast. We have clients on the East Coast, and they replicate into our systems today.
Yeah. Well, you're headquartered in a hub. You know, Chicago's, you know, a big financial hub, and, you know, it's got a lot of big companies, and I would think that the type of things you're talking about, you're going to have their plants and their subsidiaries all over the world.
Yes, nationwide and global.
Gotcha. Now, our listeners, every time I skip the pedigree, they get mad at me. So we're going to have to go back. How does somebody go into this? Go back a little bit. How long have you been in business?
My company is 15 years old.
Yay!
And I've been in the technology field for 30 years.
All right, so now how'd you get into technology? Let's just do a quick, sketch.
I started
for
first, I accepted a position with Decision Data. They were the largest peripheral manufacturer for plug compatible for the IBM environment.
Okay.
And within the first 2 years of employment, I was a salesman of the year. And within the following 8 years, I moved into management positions, and my last year I was the top in the district position of the year.
So your background's sales?
It's all sales.
Yeah.
It's really, as you call it, a sales-driven business,
mm-hmm.
more on the promise and hurry.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and then what's one of the things that we're going to get to in the discussion is to do this, you got to know what the model of your company is and who are some of the key people you need to have in place. Right?
Correct.
So you were with Decision Data how long?
I was with them for 10 years.
10 years. Okay, so then?
10 years after that, the company was changing
mm-hmm.
and was having some misdirection, and it was necessary at that time. I didn't want to do pieces any longer. I wanted to do the full picture. And
yeah.
the full picture included systems, software, services, leasing.
Yeah.
And so I had to start over. And so I left at that point. From Decision Data, and I went over the next 4 years to do two different companies, which were resellers.
Okay.
and they gave insight on a smaller end, which was about $25 million in revenue,
yep.
and then on a larger end at about $150 million in revenue. That gave me the experience, and the focus was always when leaving Decision Data to have my own firm.
Right. And you were kind of getting, what's smart is you didn't just leave them and go straight into something else. You had 5 years of transition.
Right.
What made you go into your own business?
I didn't want to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
I wanted to be in control of my destiny.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to make certain that, you know, it was depending on myself and direction
mm-hmm.
and focus.
Now, it's a 15-year-old business. It's not been one big blur. How did you start? Give me a couple of the phases of the business. When you were first in business, what were you doing?
First in business, we were really doing all used equipment.
Mm-hmm.
We were not in a position to secure a relationship with IBM directly.
Okay.
And after getting beat very badly at one of my locations and stated I was a wannabe,
mm-hmm.
I had stated, I'll fix it.
Yeah.
And I was able to secure a direct relationship with IBM
mm-hmm.
in 1998.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a year in order for you to be eligible to have premier status.
I was going to say, you're one of the premier partners now, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And as a premier partner, you're mm-hmm. in the upper 5% of 3,000
mm-hmm.
partners.
Mm-hmm.
And within our distributor that has approximately 900 to 1,000 partners,
mm-hmm.
we're in the top 50.
Is that Avnet?
And that's Avnet.
Mm-hmm. Cool. That took some doing. So the phases were, first it was used equipment, and then what?
And then it went into the technology where we could mm-hmm. sell new as well as used, but we could focus on the technology and the upgrades for the clients. And it still was very focused on technology. At that time, we were called 411 Computers, Inc.
Yeah.
And then as we move forward,
mm-hmm.
IBM offers additional programs in that in Palisades, New York,
mm-hmm.
and that was for owner, executive, for growth.
Yeah.
And we no longer wanted to be a single-digit company. We wanted to be a double-digit company, and so to make those moves, I wanted to get stronger education on
yeah.
how I could guide my company. At that time, I had a business partner, and the business partner wanted to stay focused on
mm-hmm.
technology.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't something that was going to allow the company to grow and to protect my employees.
So one of the first big decisions you had to make is to get rid of a partner.
Right. And that was pretty tough. And
what made you, now see, that's the point. You know, it's not, when you first started your business, it's like maybe, what, 10 years into it, 12 years into it?
It was about 8 years into it.
8 years, okay. That you said, we're going to be a market leader. I don't want to follow. I don't want to just sell boxes. It's not enough just to be one of the pack. I'm going to be in the top 5%.
Correct.
What made that happen for you?
You could see I wanted the business, and
mm-hmm.
I wanted the business to grow. And if we didn't make the changes that we were going to make, I would be working for somebody else, and that was not an option.
Yeah, you know, especially in your field, it's so competitive, it's like a commodity. You've got to make some tough decisions about where you're positioning. Now, I've got a break, and what we're going to do in this next segment, we got to hear the journey of you were in one of the pack. Where'd you find the money? Where'd you find the people? How'd you have the guts? What were some of the tough decisions? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the break, we're going to be right back with Jane Morgan of 411 Solutions International. This is the growth strategist, Aldana Ambler. We'll be right back.
Money, money. Up-to-date business and financial news. Money, money. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the growth strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ELDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
Have you ever had a bad day and wish someone could come along and change it at the flip of a switch? Do you dream of living the life of wealth, great relationships, and the perfect job, but don't know where to start? Then tune into The Winner's Attitude with corporate trainers, motivators, authors, and hosts Jeff and Val G. No difficult strategies or complicated keys. Jeff and Val present a powerful and effective technology to switch your operating system to create the most amazing life. It has been said that winners have simply formed the habit of doing amazing things. Winners know how to activate that switch, and so can you. The Winner's Attitude with Jeff and Val G. Broadcast each Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel. The Winner's Attitude. Switch me on.
Hey, Dad.
What?
I can't get the ketchup bottle open.
Here, let me try. Here you go.
Thanks.
You don't have to be a hero to be a hero. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The Internet's only all business and financial radio network, Voice America Business.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler, and today we're talking about the real implications of saying, I'm going to be a market leader. And so our guest today is Jane Morgan, the president of 411 Solutions International. So now, I know a little bit of your history. Let me ask you the question about, you made a decision to have an expansion of your physical space. Tell us the story about that, because, you know, as a small company, you know, the banks would be kind of hesitant, and people look at you like, what the heck are you doing? Tell us the story.
We had, our lease was coming up. We had gone through two renewals, and our offering as far as business continuity was growing, and we started to tap into larger companies, $400-500 million in revenue,
mm-hmm.
and their requirements were double or triple workspace requirements. So we could only handle about 28 people in our mm-hmm. facility, which was 1,800 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
And this particular client wanted 65 seats in our facility.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to head-to-head with the competition and knew that the only way that I was going to be positioned is to truly have the workspace mm-hmm. and the environment to complement how we wanted to grow, where we wanted to grow, and the type of clients that we wanted to have.
You didn't want to have bunk desks, huh?
No. We didn't have bunk desks. We went, you know, we wanted to send a message that we were in the business to stay
yeah.
and we were going to grow. And we were going to grow to complement the solutions that our clients who were growing required to have.
Now, if I remember right, you were at 1,800 square feet and you made the jump to 10,000.
Correct.
How long did that take you and you know, how much planning did that take? That didn't just happen.
Right. That took us probably a solid year
sure.
to really identify the space requirements and considerations. I had one consultant look at me stating that you really should take a look at 15,000 square feet.
Okay.
But when you take a look at overhead costs,
mm-hmm.
that's a big leap.
Sure, and 10 is.
10 is. And we compromised. I wanted to do 5, and
mm-hmm.
I compromised at 10.
Mm-hmm.
I negotiated the lease so that I would have the first right of refusal on an additional 5,300 square feet.
So now, parallel to this, all this negotiation for the square footage,
mm-hmm.
you had to be working on your sales plan so that you could see the pipeline to pay for it.
Oh, yeah. And at that point in time, based on margins that we were currently doing at that time, we needed to go into almost 5 times that.
Yeah.
Just to protect. You
Did you have some employees that were looking at you like you're nuts and scared? And, we're never going to have the accounts, and how are we going to do this? Did they go
there? everybody, it was amazing. I had, you know, at that time I had 8 people and we were all scrunched together in 1,800 square feet,
yeah,
all on top of each other.
Right.
And the more we talked about it, the more we designed, the more we structured it based on the clients that we were going after.
Right.
The day that it happened, which was July 15, 2002, it was an exciting day because
sure,
when all of my staff walked in, it was like what was a dream was now a reality. We were now living it.
Yeah.
And even my team, I mean, you could see the changes as far as that, you know, it uprooted them to start mm-hmm. focusing on a bigger plan. And
did you notice how they changed? Did you? I mean, a lot of my clients, when they go through this, some of their employees start changing how they dress and
how
their
they
grooming.
Dress.
And you don't even have to tell them to do it. They just start to change how their shoulders go back and their heads are up higher.
Right. They really do have just a stronger commitment, stronger focus, stronger
yeah.
drive that what they've invested is finally coming to be a reality.
Yeah, it's almost like, you know, hey, I think she's serious.
Right, right.
And now one of the things that you had to do was the marketing, because, you know, it's okay to have all this square footage, but boy, if you don't get the word out
right.
that there's this market leader, how'd you do it?
We did it through an open house. I mean,
mm-hmm.
that was the biggest influx, where
mm-hmm.
the energy just through my team and the clients
mm-hmm.
just, I remember my accountant looking at me going, I knew it would be good, but I never thought it'd be this good.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the message that we were starting to get through our clients, through the staff, and having just to see the energy of my team,
mm-hmm.
seeing more and more clients coming in to see what we've designed, to see how we've grown, to see the markets that we're going after,
mm-hmm.
was huge.
Now, well, the interesting thing about committing to a space like that, is doesn't it, it just sends that you're serious and that some of your prospects start talking to you in a different way about business continuity, high availability, and other stuff.
Right.
Right? So do you take them on tours of the building so that they get the idea that you're at that scale?
To truly sell the solution,
mm-hmm.
they need to be at the facility.
Yeah.
Because the design that we incorporated in the facility is nothing like anything that's out there.
Mm-hmm.
And once the people are in the facility, they're sold
mm-hmm.
and they're committed. And because of business continuity, clients want to be in the trenches when things really hit the wall with someone who's going to be a partner working with them to bring them back out of it.
How'd you talk the banks into funding this?
That was the first thing that I did at the start of my career, is that I knew I was going to need the banking relationships to support
mm-hmm.
where I wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I continued to develop and make my banks aware of the growth, the strategy, what we needed to do. And I would always have meetings to give them an insight as to where we are, how we're going to grow.
So you have to have regularly scheduled meetings with your banker
correct.
To give them the update on the vision, because I can see a lot of times my clients that are choosing leadership, if they do not do that and they only go to the bank when they need money,
right.
it slows the process down.
Correct. And this way, always keeping them in the loop
mm-hmm.
and making them aware as to how we need to grow to protect our clients,
mm-hmm.
it made it much easier.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one time sitting down with my banker, telling him how we were going to grow with salespeople and that.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in it, he was for it, and within a week the loan was approved.
Mm-hmm.
And
I've seen that where, you know, and I'm going to say it again, because an awful lot of people don't do this. They don't want to tell their banker stuff. And if you are a market leader, you've got to educate the bankers, because they're not entrepreneurs, they're bankers. And if they don't know which thing you're looking into, you're considering a building, you're considering a study, you're considering a new service, you're considering an expanded whatever. If you're not telling them what you're considering doing, and later on you say, well, I need my line of credit to triple, and that's
right.
the first time you mentioned it, you know, surprise, surprise, you get no's, or you get kicked back, or you get some kind of a, you know, look that says you're out of your mind. This a regular appointment with the banker makes a difference, doesn't it?
It really does.
Now, what are some of the implications to staffing? You know, where do you get the people who want to live on this edge?
I have been very blessed to get the strongest people at the time of how the company changes. And I've got the strongest team at this point in time moving forward into our next level.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on referrals. I've been in the business 30 years, so I have quite a few contacts.
But I bet it's hard, though, because, you know, you got different kinds of accounts that need different things. And
correct.
So you're probably always looking.
We're always looking, but the other thing that we have changed as we grow, instead of having more and more people on the bench, is we take a look at and develop relationships with partners that can help us with certain projects at that time. And so we work with it on that end as well.
Because one of the things I've noticed for some of my other clients, maybe you haven't run into this, is I've recommended the top grading method of interviewing. Because and it's a longer process of interviewing people about their career history, and you can hear through active reflective listening how they've made their decisions in transitions in their life. Jeff Smart's book is really almost too big and fat, but boy, the DVDs are really good. But anyway, the methodology of, you know, when somebody was going through a transition in their life, a transformation, when they were making a decision to go after a promotion, how did they do it? How did they manage stress? How did they motivate themselves to learn? How did they raise the bar? Because that's what you need, no matter what their title is. You need people who are insatiable learners.
Right.
And so, just as a recommendation to the listeners, if Jane hasn't run into it, I would recommend to you that you think about, if you're going to choose this leadership position, truly use predictive index is a good method, the PI, some of these techniques to screen people, because you can't have naysayers. If Jane and people like her that are living on the edge saying we are going to be market leaders and ahead of our clients and
right.
educate them, you need people who are centered, can communicate well, are trustworthy, and are learners.
Right.
And that's not easy to find. And in an interview, if you gloss over it too quickly, you're going to hire the wrong people, right?
Right. The other thing, too, is you have to be very careful that the people within your staff are also growing. So you
that's
have
what
to
I mean.
Educate them.
They're the types that
forward.
Want to grow.
Right.
It's not a smooth path, okay? Have you had times in the history of, you know, especially the last 6 to 8 years where, you know, you might have hired, you thought you did well, and you had to make the tough decision, nope, this person doesn't fit?
Well, I had one that when I ended the relationship with my partner and then moved forward.
Well, yeah,
and it was fine. Not so much my partner. There was one of my head techs, and he couldn't make the curve.
Yeah.
And there are some people that cannot make the curve because they want things to not change.
Yeah. You can't
and
have that
people,
in this type of business.
Right. And the people that you need to grow with you are the ones that are willing to change, can multitask, can take on additional responsibilities, and really have some foresight as to what we need to do to complement what we're doing today.
Yeah, it's a cultural thing.
It is.
And your first 90 day, even shorter, in 60 days you can tell if this is a person that's going to seek education, get ahead of the customers, embrace learning, or do they want routine, same, predictable, coast on what they know. You can't have anybody in any of the roles, accounting, production, sales, none of them. The key people have to be that insatiable learner, don't they?
Right.
And that's hard, though, because you're going to have to play hardball with some people and let them go. Oh, we got the break here.
But
if you want to grow, you do it.
You have to
now,
do it.
At the end of the break, we're going to come back, and we're going to do a forward look with Jane about 411 Solutions and how is she going to sustain this. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. We'll be right back.
Stocks, bonds, 401ks, investments, refinancing. We can help you. Call now toll free, 866-472-5790, 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the growth strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
Why is Pepsi cooler than Coke? Why are iPods so popular? In 2005, how can you launch a successful brand? Want to know? Learn about the fascinating and intriguing world of graphic design and branding on Design Matters with Debbie Millman. Every Friday at 12 Pacific Standard Time, Debbie Millman will provide you with a provocative look into the stimulating world of design as it intersects with contemporary culture. Hear what the experts have to say about creating, maintaining, and launching a brand in today's challenging marketplace. Join us every Friday at 12 Pacific Standard Time for Design Matters with Debbie Millman, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
Is your job heavenly or closer to hell on earth? Maybe it's time you stop waiting on employers to make you satisfied and learn how to recognize your own career contentment. Jeff Garten and his expert guests show you how every Thursday at 12 noon Pacific when you tune in to Career Contentment Radio on the Voice America Business Radio Network. Contentment is yours to control and easier to achieve than happiness or satisfaction.
Small business owners, do you want answers to your most pressing financial concerns? Do you want to stop stressing about money and finally understand how to create wealth? Let Elizabeth Potts Weinstein and the Wealth Spa Radio Show answer your most pressing financial and legal questions about your small business and help you achieve business success and the lifestyle of your dreams easier and faster than you could imagine. The Wealth Spa Radio Show broadcasts live every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Radio Network.
The Bottom Line in Business. Voice America Business.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler. Today we're talking about the true implications of being a market leader. This is not easy. This is not inexpensive. You've got to follow through. So our guest is Jane Morgan, who's the president of 411 Solutions International. There's a symbolic thing about following through. You do a name change to Solutions International, don't you? You're not going to have some small, wimpy name when you're doing this. And someone like you, you'd be recruiting all the time, wouldn't you?
All the time.
So you are looking for the cream of the crop in production, you know, technology, in finance, in marketing, in sales, all the time, right?
All the time, as
well as
operations.
All right, so here we go. This is the favor to you. I want your contact information to come out. How can people reach you? Because there may be somebody who's in a company that's listening to this, okay? They're in a company that's coasting, and they're not taking the chances and being cutting edge, and they're getting kind of itchy, and they might want to send a resume to you. So how can somebody reach you?
They can reach me via email at jmorgan, M-O-R-G-A-N, at 411, just the numbers, solutions with an S, I-N-T-L, which is international abbreviated, .com.
Okay, so J. Morgan?
No, just J.
J. Morgan. At 411solutionsintl.com.
Correct.
Okay, any phone number?
Phone number, toll-free is 888-482-4117, extension 127.
Okay. And this is serious because I noticed that one of the things that's happened to a number of the guests that I've had on the program is there are the division heads or there is a salesperson or whatever it is listening in that miscellaneous group, And they're listening to these entrepreneurs that are my guests, and they're saying, that sounds like the right place for me. So, you know, let me know if somebody is contacting you. My contact information, for those of you who are wanting to ask some questions or follow up, www.thegrowthstrategist.com is the website. Toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-ALDONNA, A-L-D-O-N-N-A. With the multiple companies that I own, and if you're dealing directly with me, that's the number you get. And the email is Aldonna, A-L-D-O-N-N-A, at Ambler, A-M-B-L-E-R, .com.
Can I give them my website?
Oh, yeah.
www.411solutionsintl.com.
Okay, so it matches the email.
Yes.
Okay. Now, what we want to do is one more example of something that you've introduced where you had to have the guts and you had to follow through that wasn't easy to do, because this is not easy. Didn't you do a data center?
We did a data center upgrade. It was twofold. We wanted to be a player, so to speak, which was the Business Partner Innovation Center. So it's a dual purpose. We had to build out a new data center to support that model, which was an IBM model for certification to show proof of concepts and that for clients. The other thing that it did is a lot of our clients who are looking to double and triple in size, they have different issues with auditing and SOX issues.
Right.
So we needed to upgrade the data center to have additional levels of redundancy and fire suppression and auditing just coming into the facility.
Now let me take a guess. There's some business partners where you need to take care of them. They need to take care of you. Who do you need to thank? Like if you have a chance, like, you know, at the end of the year and through the year, are you doing things to take care of IBM and Avnet? And who
right.
are your partner? Who are your true partners?
My true partners are my clients, first of all.
Sure.
I have awesome clients over the last 30 years. And then my team, and who is supporting me on this adventure and journey. And then we go into our business partners, which would be IBM, and it would be Avnet.
And your banker.
And my banker.
And your attorney.
And my attorney and my accountant.
Yeah, and you've got consultants. You've got business advisors. I mean, you know, to do this kind of thing, are there researchers that are helping you look at the future trends and such? This is not something you do by yourself.
No. You you continue to upgrade and change one of the avenues in meeting with Aldonna through IBM.
And some headhunters have been helpful to you.
Extremely helpful, especially with accountability and staying ahead of the curve with sales and marketing.
Now, what's your biggest challenge at this point?
The biggest challenge at this point is developing more partner relationships and bringing in more salespeople to get stronger bandwidth to market our solutions. And then the next piece of it is to make the foundation stronger within an operations and process.
And the growth that you're looking for in the next year, what percent are you going for?
For us, we're probably going to be going for about 20%.
Good. You're still being aggressive.
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, when you think, giving advice to somebody who's going to say, all right, we're going to be market leaders, which means we have to have depth across the board, the best people, the best this, the best that. How do they get the nerve to do it? Because this, I mean, you've had to have brass ones, as they say in the vernacular. How do they develop that? Because this scares most people.
It really is the passion and the dream as far as what you want to do.
Uh-huh.
And either you want to stand still or someone's going to crush you.
It's not for the weak.
No.
And in fact, I see, you know what I would suggest to people, maybe it's a different way to end this, is I see people try this, and what happens is they start getting palpitations. Or they back off, or they don't go for the money when they really, they wouldn't have gone for the 10,000 square foot.
Right.
And I would say to them, instead of making yourself crazy, trying to live somebody else's dream and trying to be like Jane, if it's really not who you are, either get another president for the business who does have that kind of nerve, or look, you could be a challenger, you could be a niche, you could be a follower. Not everybody has to do what Jane's doing. And, in fact, it is important to find out, do you have that fortitude, do you have that passion that she's talking about, or don't you? And living a lie, acting as though you do, isn't going to work. In fact, there's a couple of books out there I saw a couple of years ago saying the imposter syndrome, that there was as many as 60% of CEOs, their biggest fear was they're going to get found out. So my punchline may sound negative. I don't think the leader position is for as many entrepreneurs as they are claiming they want to be. I think a lot more should be in the follower position, a lot more should be in the challenger position, a lot more should be in the niche position. What Jane's living is for the ones that are not, they have some guts, and they really have that internal fortitude where they can't help themselves. Yes. And are you or aren't you truly like that?
Yes.
So in our last minute, Jane, I want to thank you for being a wonderful guest. Your contact information is important. Everybody, listen to this show again. There's subtleties in how she answered the messages. And my wish for you as a listening audience, as it is every week, is for accelerated growth. I mean truly, you know, pedal to the metal. We're looking for dramatic growth in this program with sustained profitability. And this is the growth strategist, Aldana Ambler, signing out.
Voice America Business would like to thank you for logging on and tuning into The Growth Strategist. Join us each Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time for another exciting episode of The Growth Strategist, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.